Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
Hey there, you're listening to the Lazy Genius Podcast. I'm Kendra Adachi, and I am here to help you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't. Today is episode 356, What's Saving My Life Right Now? This is a beloved quarterly episode where I share the things in my life that are saving it. It could be products that bring me joy or efficiency, moments that make me feel like myself, things I'm looking forward to. The list is varied every time. The practice, though, is just as important as the list itself, which is why I encourage you to ask yourself this question on occasion. What is saving your life right now? Barbara Brown Taylor asked this question ages ago, and many of us on the internet use it often because it is so good. Life can be heavy, distracting, busy, hard. Taking a moment to name what is bringing us joy, keeping us afloat, and making things easier is a real gift. So here are the 10 things that are saving my life right now. Number one, finally being able to tell you that I wrote a book. You guys, I wrote another book. I told folks for the first time in last week's monthly newsletter, the latest lazy letter. And then I posted about it yesterday on Instagram and in the private Lazy Genius Facebook group. And now today I am telling you on the podcast. Okay. After The Lazy Genius Way came out in 2020, I did not think I would write another book. That book has the 13 Lazy Genius principles. So what else was there to say, you know? Well, then I realized that those principles could work wonders in the kitchen when specifically applied there. So in 2022, I released The Lazy Genius Kitchen. Now, it was then that I for sure knew I would never write another book. It's not that I don't like writing books. I mean, truthfully, I don't actually. I don't love the writing part. That's another conversation for another day. But really, it's that I did not think I had anything else to say in book form. I want to write books that are constant references for you, that can be revisited in different seasons of life and offer tangible help with your problems. After Kitchen and Way, I just didn't think there was anything else to say that would be in a book. But then I started to work on a time management resource for you guys. I love talking about time management. I'd like to think that I am an expert on compassionate time management, helping you get your stuff done, but also preserving your humanity and joy in the process. Now, as I started working on the content for this future resource, I couldn't decide if it should be an online course or a series of podcast episodes or something else. Basically, no format made sense. But I wanted to say it was just too comprehensive, too detailed, too much like a book. Then I said to myself, oh, wait, I guess I do have another book in me. So I signed a contract with a new publisher last February. I wrote the book last summer, and it releases on October 8th of this year, of 2024. It's called The Plan, Manage Your Time Like a Lazy Genius. And y'all, I could not be more excited about this book. There is so much to tell you about it and plenty of time to do it. But I've been sitting on this news of even having a book for over a year. When I say I have never been more excited about anything I've made, I say it loudly. I have never been more excited about anything I have made. I think this book is a game changer. It's the book I feel like I was put on this earth to write. The Plan is for people who have been forgotten by the productivity industry, namely women. We have hormones, we run homes and families, we have different needs and cultural expectations than our male counterparts, and yet 93% of time management books are written by men. That is too high, y'all. That's too high. So this book is for you, and October cannot get here fast enough. So if you're an eager beaver, you can absolutely go ahead and order it wherever you like to buy books, but you've obviously got time. The point is that it is absolutely, absolutely saving my life that I finally get to tell you that the book is real. The book is here. The book is real. It has been a hard secret to keep, so this is super fun. The plan, Manage Your Time Like a Lazy Genius, comes out October 8th. Yay! Okay, the second thing that is saving my life, a finished bathroom. You guys, we did it. We did it. My bathroom renovation is finished. I know this is a very specific situation, and frankly, it's a privileged one, but I'm so happy to have our house back. We went through a 7-month bathroom remodel that was definitely not supposed to take that long. The reasons for that matter far less than the fact that we made it through that weirdly hard season. When one room of your home is in chaos, it kind of throws the whole place into chaos. We had some temporary fixes to kind of stave off that chaos that we thought we would only need for a few weeks. And when weeks turned to months, I started to feel a little cuckoo pants. I did manage my way through that strangely challenging season far better than I would have at any point in my past. Therapy is a winner, you guys, but it was still tough. And now that our bathroom is done, holy moly, is it the best. Now, does my entire family use the new bathroom? Yes, yes, they do. They do. I thought it would be like a bit of a sanctuary for me and Kaz, but the kids are not stupid. They know a good thing when they see it, and I cannot blame them. We found a new rhythm in there. You know, we have found a new rhythm in using that bathroom, all five of us. I'm so happy with the choices we made and the changes that we pushed for to make it work for our family. I love it. I love it so much. I love it so much, in fact, that I now love to shower. This is a super weird thing about me that I've shared here before, I think, which is kind of weird in and of itself, but we'll go with it. I've always hated showering. It feels like such a waste. It's such a chore. I mean, I like being clean, but the process of showering, ugh. Well, now that the bathroom is finished, a bathroom that was built for how we live and use it, plus an incredible shower head that I just don't know anything about since I didn't choose it. So if you ask me what it is, I can't tell you. I love taking a shower now. Like, I love it. I look forward to it. Who would have thought? So that's number two, getting through a tough season that was longer than expected and having a finished, beautiful bathroom on the other side. Number three, painting. So I love having a creative outlet that has no purpose other than my own enjoyment. It is necessary for me to feel like myself. My job is creative, but it doesn't fulfill my creative needs on its own because it's my job. So I love making things just because. I have a few personal categories, music, food, but one of the things that gives me the most enjoyment in creating and therefore saves my life in big ways is painting. I really love to paint. I'm a mixed bag when it comes to how successful I am at it. I am a recovering perfectionist and therefore someone who has not historically tried things that I was not amazing at, like out the gate. That's not a great vibe and I'm working on it. But one of the ways that I'm doing that, I'm learning to be okay with not being great at something, is with painting. Sometimes I paint something I absolutely love that I am proud of, that looks like something kind of real. Other times I paint something and I wonder if I broke my hands in the process. But excellence is not the point. Enjoyment is. And I really enjoy painting. I've been doing it a lot these last couple of months. I don't know if it's just maybe like the winter moving into spring and the quietness of it, but I've been painting a lot more. And the more I paint, the more I get comfortable with painting badly. Or, I mean, even to soften my definition of what badly is. There's no bad art, you know? We're just expressing and trying. And sometimes what's in my head lands to varying degrees of success, but I really love doing it. It makes me calm and happy. It's such a great stress reliever. I paint with acrylics mostly, even though I want to paint watercolor more than I do. Frankly, I need to be like a little more comfortable with the lack of control in general that watercolor requires. Like they just do what they want. They're a whole vibe. Watercolors are a whole vibe. But regardless of the love-hate relationship I have with certain mediums in painting, painting itself is absolutely saving my life. Okay, next, number four, art on my walls, specifically original art. All right, I told you in the last episode of what's saving my life, or no, wait, maybe it was the episode of my favorite discoveries of 2023. I don't remember. Either way, something I have discovered recently-ish and loved doing is shopping from Instagram accounts that curate vintage home decor pieces. Basically, people with a great eye, they go thrifting, they go to estate sales, they go all the places, they find the good stuff, they put it like in a pretty flat lay, usually on Fridays, flat lay Fridays, and you can simply comment on their post to say you want to buy a certain piece. You're like, sold L, and then it's yours. It's great. Well, that has opened me up to how much I love original art and how much life it adds to my home. I've gotten probably 4 or 5 pieces of actual art, not by anyone famous, but beautiful and original nonetheless. And I have put them all over my house. I have a large watercolor painting of a Paris cafe hanging in my dining room. Have I been to Paris? No. Is it beautiful? Yes. I have an oil on canvas painting of a woman's face, like all in browns and yellows and oranges. And it's magnificent. That's hanging next to a bookshelf, along with like this tiny little oil painting of a field and then a pen and ink drawing of a flower, all of which I got from like these vintage accounts. I also have a piece of string art, like literally the picture you see is made of strings strung tightly together in my den. It's got this Japanese feel, which is rad because my husband and therefore my kids are Japanese. It also inspired me to frame one of my own paintings and prop it up among the others. Original art, whether yours or someone else's, is a really surprisingly special thing and adds so much warmth to a home.
There are over 75 million monthly Tubi viewers. That's more people than there are influencers on the internet, which means Tubi is more popular than sponsored posts for digestive enzymes and high coverage foundation. More popular than soft launching your boyfriend. More popular than making boomers explode with rage when you tell them how much you make on a single post. Tubi, it's more popular than influencers. See you in there.
This episode is sponsored by Third Love. Do you want a bra that's sexy? Or a bra that's comfortable. Thanks to Third Love, you can have both. Third Love's mission is to take the frustration out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem, or as they call them, problems. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made from premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. My go-to Third Love bra is the Perfect Coverage 24/7 Classic Bra. It's been a favorite for 3 years, and I find myself reaching for it every morning. Plus, whether you're a AA cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between 2 cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problem solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with code PODCAST15. This episode is sponsored by Ritual. I don't like wasting time or money on things that don't work. I have a healthy dose of skepticism, and I like knowing I've made a good choice. That's why I partner with companies like Ritual that consistently delight me. Ritual knows every good skeptic deserves a multivitamin that exceeds your expectations. Ritual is a female-founded B Corp, meaning they are holding themselves accountable to not just their company's financial health, but also the health of people and our planet. I take my Ritual Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamins every morning as I'm making my coffee, and I love how Ritual has made it easy for me to maintain this routine for 3 years and running. No more shady business. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/lazygenius. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/lazygenius for 25% off. This episode is sponsored by Pros. We all know your hair and skin can sway your mood and impact your day, good or bad. But since I switched to custom hair care by Pros, I've had more good hair days than ever before. Pros is made for people, not hair and skin types. Every bottle of Pros custom hair and skin care is made to order and personalized with a unique blend of naturally powerful and proven effective ingredients. It literally could not exist without you. Their in-depth consultation analyzes over 80 factors for a complete view of you, what you eat, where you live, and what you want from your hair and skin. My made for Kendra products take into account the average humidity and UV index in Greensboro. Wild. And because it's made for me, I've seen consistently softer, shinier, stronger hair every day. Pros is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin that they're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/lazygenius. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/lazygenius. That's PROSE.com/lazygenius.
All right, number five, making simple syrups. Y'all, I am so into simple syrups right now. All right, a couple of months ago, I wanted my morning cup of coffee to have a little dimension to it. I usually do oat milk and maple syrup, and it's delicious, but I wanted like a little something extra. So this one morning, I added like the tiniest pinch, of cardamom, cinnamon, and black pepper to my coffee. And the angels sang, oh my goodness. So that day, I made it easier on myself by making a simple syrup that I could just pour straight in. Now, when that was gone, I made a straight black pepper simple syrup because it sounded super intriguing. And with that, I made a cocktail that will likely be in my top three drinks of all time. It's called a Dalmatian. I made a reel about it with the recipe if you're interested. It's basically two parts grapefruit juice to one part black pepper simple syrup and one part vodka. Ridiculous. Utterly ridiculous. It's so good. So I finished up that syrup. And then the last grapefruit the other night. And I was like legitimately sad. I was legitimately sad it was gone. And then my next syrup I made was a straight cardamom syrup because I love cardamom. I've been using it in my coffee and my cocktails, regardless of how it's used. Noticing like little sparkly things like special homemade simple syrup can absolutely, absolutely save your life. I do not have specific recipes for these. Whenever I want a recipe for something like this, I literally Google just cardamom simple syrup. And I use the one that has like a bunch of reviews. So I don't have like a specific recipe to give you, but you will not go wrong. Just Google it, look for good stars. You'll be good to go. Okay. Number six, my joy connections journal. Okay. What is that? At the start of the year, I named that the two things that bring the most contentment to my life are joyful moments and moments of connection. Joy and connection are like just two of my absolute favorite, most important things. The problem was that I would get through a day and I would not notice any of those. I just like kept living and doing my thing, which is fine, but I wasn't noticing and I wanted to notice. I do keep a one line a day journal. It's been 3 years now that I've been doing that. I love that thing. But that is often where I share kind of like the general schedule of the day, the things that happened. It's also for our whole family. It's not just for me. You know, I'm writing down things that happen for everyone. This joy connections journal is just for me. It's just my joy. It's just my connections. So I can name whatever I want to name because the point is just noticing what is happening in my own life. So at the start of January, I grabbed an empty notebook I already had. And each page is a new date. I just write the date on the top of the page. I write the year 2024, which is where we are. And then I write the letter C for connection, followed by whatever the moment of connection was. And then J, followed by whatever brought me joy. Moments of connection are things like holding hands with Annie while we're walking home from school, having a quick text conversation with a friend that made me laugh, high-fiving Ben after he got a grade he was proud of on a project that he was really worried about, you know? Moments of joy are just that. They're just moments, like a laugh, a hug, a joke at the perfect time, watching Sanditon for an entire morning, having friends over for dinner. Like, it doesn't really matter. They're all really small and kind of ordinary. But the point is remembering. So the notebook sits right on top of my one line a day journal. Both of them are next to my bed. And when I get into bed every night, I immediately write in both of them. Even if I'm super tired, I have the energy to spend 60 seconds writing something. It has been such a lovely practice. Okay, number seven, a dependable makeup routine. I am someone who enjoys makeup, but I enjoy pretty simple makeup that makes me feel like an alive version of myself. You know that feeling? Like, I don't need my makeup to be like super contoured or like a lot of coverage. I also don't need it to be the quickest thing ever. I just want it to work well, be as efficient as possible, and make me still look like myself. And I think I've nailed down my routine and it's the best. Now, I've loved my routine for a while now, but I've learned a couple of tips that I've incorporated recently from someone that I follow on Instagram. Her handle is emily.m.holland. And she is a bridal hair and makeup artist who does tutorials and tips and stuff. She's on Instagram as that. She's on TikTok too. I don't know what her TikTok thing is because your girl isn't on TikTok, because I know it will keep me from reading my books until the end of time, because that algorithm will learn me and entertain me and I will die scrolling that app. Anyway, back to Emily. So watching her simple ideas helped put some finishing touches on my daily makeup routine. And I just really, I really enjoy putting my makeup on every day. I have products I love. I use the same things every day and I'm so happy. Now, I will give you a quick rundown of my routine and my products, but products work differently on different people, right? So this is not like the best of the best for everybody. It's just the best of the best for me. Now, there is only one holy grail product I would recommend to anyone. The rest I think are really great, but you know, colors and formulas are personal based on your own skin tone and its texture. Also, the way you apply product matters based on like how much coverage you want and the shape of your bone structure and the shape of your eyes. Like makeup is just really personal. So I'm just giving you like the biggest disclaimer here. Just because I love these products, it does not mean they will work for you. This feels very important to clarify. Okay, so I do skincare and sunscreen before my makeup, always, of course. The first step in my makeup is the Holy Grail product, and it is Face Base by Bobbi Brown. This stuff is magical. It keeps your makeup in place all day. It smells great. It's really moisturizing, but it's not greasy. Jamie Golden recommended it to me. And apparently she also recommended it to Brie McCoy too, because the three of us accidentally, when we were together, had a moment where we realized we all had it. And we were like, this stuff is amazing. And we all have very different skin, very different needs. Bobbi Brown's Face Base is just winner, winner, chicken dinner. It is so good. Okay. Then I use Charlotte Tilbury's Flawless Filter Setting Powder. It's like a, you know, a powdered foundation, but just enough coverage to even my skin in places I want it to be more even, but it doesn't make me look made up. I really love it. I add some color and dimension with a couple of swipes of Gucci bronzer. Yes, Gucci bronzer. Listen, I did not anticipate being like a bougie makeup person, but I have tried so many bronzers, like well over a dozen easily. The color is always like weird. It's too dark. It's too sparkly. I don't know. I've just always had like kind of bad luck with bronzers. Then I tried the Gucci one and I was like, well, here we are. I guess I put Gucci on my face now. Thankfully, it will last me an actual eternity, but it's like such a good bronzer. Then I use Tarte, T-A-R-T-E. I use Tarte Amazonian Clay Blush. I have three colors. It's my favorite blush. I use it for eyeshadow too. It's so great. I've raved about that product before. It's so good for me. I also use RMS Beauty Luminizer, which is basically like a highlighter and you can barely see it. It is so subtle, but it makes me feel a little more alive. I've just learned like correct placement of things like highlighter and bronzer, even eyeshadow, from Emily Holland. Again, she's such a great teacher. And it just makes my face look like my face is a good face. I don't know. Then I use eyeliner from Thrive Cosmetics. I've used it for years. I have four colors maybe. Like I love it. Right now I'm working my way through a brown color, but the navy blue is like a winner. I love it. Can y'all hear that bird? Good Lord. It is so loud. Then I use a setting spray from Caliray called Surf Proof Hydrating Setting Spray. It works so great. It has niacinamide in it, which is so good for your skin. I really, really love that. And then I end with mascara. I don't spray my face with the mascara on because I always have like mascara lines on my face when I close my eyes. So I use mascara. I use Wander Beauty's Mile High Club Mascara. I've used it for years. It's not clumpy. It does not look like mascara to me. It just makes my lashes look longer, you know, and it never flakes. That actually might be a little more holy grailish with the Face Base too, is the Wander Beauty Mile High Club Mascara. Like it's a great mascara. Then for lips, it varies, but a lot of times I'll just put on like a hydrated lip balm and call it good, you know. Lipstick depends on a lot of things for me, but it is not necessary for my daily face. And my easy, dependable makeup routine to get that daily face, dude, saves my life every single morning. Okay, number 8. Keeping 2 o'clock to 6 o'clock p.m. open every day. Well, except Tuesdays. My mom watches my kids on Tuesdays. I have 3 kids, 2 boys, ages 14 and 12, both in middle school, and then an almost 8-year-old daughter in second grade. The middle schoolers especially are always springing things on me. Like a band practice is happening after school. There's an interest meeting for a sport. So-and-so wants to work on a project. One of the other carpool moms has an emergency and I need to fill in. Annie wants to play with a friend after school at our house. Basically, I have learned to hold 2 to 6 o'clock wide open. I make no plans. I have a dinner idea, but even there, I am prepared to have us eat a little later if we have to. Plus, all of our meals on weeknights are brainless crowd pleasers anyway, so I don't have to think about them. You know, that's the point. I started keeping the afternoons open with no intended tasks to finish or errands to run because I was starting to resent my kids for having lives. I was getting huffy at Sam because his band teacher called an emergency rehearsal after school. It's not his fault. It's not his fault. Also, I want my kids to have friends and be interested in things and do what they can within reason. So when I started to mentally and tangibly keep my afternoons open of all responsibilities and obligations, it saved my attitude and it saved my life. I'm flexible. You know, I'm not surprised when something pops up. And like, I'm genuinely happy to be able to respond when my kids need something. Now, am I privileged to do that because of the nature of my job? Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm not saying at all that everyone should or even can do this. For me, it is an adjustment I've made to how I think and plan, and it's made a huge difference that I'm so grateful for. Okay, number 9, delegating things that I'm not good at to people who are. I have spent the last decade learning to delegate. We have adjusted finances to leave space for hiring help. I have gotten more comfortable asking for help. I've hired an incredible Lazy Genius team that makes the business run so beautifully. As I was making my list here and thinking about what's saving my life, it is absolutely delegating and either hiring or asking for help. You know, we worked it out financially to hire a house cleaner that comes every other week. And that alone has been one of the best investments I have ever made. We also continue to develop a rhythm in our house where everyone does their share of the housework and domestic duties. It's taken a while. It's still in progress. But no longer does the maintenance of our home primarily fall to me. I've also been so grateful for Latoya and Leah and Leslie, who are the 3 members of my team whose names all start with the letter L. Yes, they do. They're all just so good at their jobs. And they do what they particularly do so well, freeing me up to do what I do well. I think for a lot of us, it can be hard to let go of control of things that we've always done. You know, you might remember in last week's bonus episode where we got an update from the office ladies about their problems at We Lazy Genius. And you know how Jenna Fisher said that she did have to release the fact that she normally did Valentine's Day stuff with her kids, but now her husband took care of Valentine's Day with her son because of the split email solution we figured out. It works so well for them to do that split and let the tasks fall along those split lines, you know? But there's also a little bit of that, like, when Jenna had to let her husband take care of Valentine's Day when she normally did and really liked it. You know, we feel that when we let something go that we've always done. The way that other people do it seems as though it might not ever be as good as we do it. You know, in our homes, I think that's often true, especially when we have our kids take over a chore or something. Their standard of excellence, it's likely not as high as yours is. But there is sometimes like a grief when we let something go, you know, when we hire help or ask for help, when we delegate. But I think it's almost always worth it. For the record, I do want to confidently say that grief has not ever been part of the delegation process with Team LG. All 3 of these women are wildly better at their jobs, wildly better at their jobs than I was at those same jobs when it was just me. They have elevated the business and in turn my own work and therefore my actual life. That's always true and kind of a broader statement. But when I was reflecting upon my life this quarter, this one was incredibly obvious. And then finally, number 10, the number 10 thing, the 10th thing that's saving my life It also has to do with delegating things to people who are better at something than you are. I delegate, this is a weird thing to say, I delegate much of my emotional processing to Emily P. Freeman. I never emotionally process things as well on my own as I do with her. And that is the truth. Emily is an author and a podcaster, but she's also been my dearest friend for over 15 years. She has seen me cry like big crocodile, broken person tears more than anyone else except for Kaz. Maybe the same as Kaz. I don't even know. She's seen a lot. I can confidently proclaim that she is one of the best humans on planet Earth. One thing that has been saving my life is watching how Emily lives hers. I know of no one else who walks through life, no matter what it holds, with the kind of compassion and intentionality that she does, which is why I am so glad she has written a book. The book is called How to Walk Into a Room, The Art of Knowing When to Stay and When to Walk Away. It releases tomorrow, March 12th, and I cannot recommend it enough. I know how to lazy genius, tangible, practical things. And occasionally I can come up with like a home run in the spiritual or philosophical department, but that is not my expertise. It absolutely is Emily's. If you are someone who is currently in a situation where you're just not sure where you fit, if you are wondering if it's time to make a change or if you should actually stick it out a little longer, you're probably flailing a little bit. There are not resources for people like us in situations like that. You know, people who are like aware enough to see a change that we need to consider, but not quite skilled enough to figure it out, at least not without turning into a robot. Emily is the anti-robot, and How to Walk Into a Room is a book written exactly for you in that space of wondering and waiting. It is a book of discernment, something that Emily is an expert in, like an actual expert, and will make a marked difference in your situation. In the book, Emily asks excellent questions, teaches you simple practices during your time of discernment of whether you should stay or leave, and shares how these questions and practices have shown up in her own life during a difficult time of leaving. It is beautifully written and enormously helpful, especially for those of us who have no better option other than to just like plow through our emotionally fraught seasons with meaningless checklists and adrenal fatigue. So if you need some deeply human practices to help you know whether to stay or go in any kind of room, whether vocational, religious, familial, or anything else, I highly, highly recommend How to Walk Into a Room by Emily P. Freeman. I bet it'll be on your own What's Saving My Life list in no time. And that is what's saving my life right now. Before we go, let's celebrate the lazy genius of the week. This week, it is Oscar Trejo. We have a dude today. Oscar has a great tip that is in the spirit of some recent tips about, you know, how we've had like extra hairbrushes and extra scissors and these other small changes that make our lives easier. Oscar writes this. Sharing something I did today to make it easier for me in the future. I sometimes forget to pack a water bottle for the kids. Today, I took the water bottles we don't use as much and put them in a box in the trunk. Next time we go to school and realize we don't have one, we can easily grab a spare. Look at that. Simple as can be. You store extra water bottles where you need extra water bottles, not in a random cabinet that's taking up space. And for Oscar, that spot is the trunk. I love the simplicity of this. So thank you for sharing, Oscar, and congratulations on being the lazy genius of the week. All right, that's it for today. If you would like a quick list of these 10 things or any summaries from other episodes too, I encourage you to sign up for our bi-weekly email called Latest Lazy Listens. It goes out every other Friday and has a quick summary of the most recent episodes, including links and extra tips and the Lazy Genius of the Week. It is small but mighty, and you can sign up at thelazygeniuscollective.com/listens. You can also check the show notes for this episode either in your podcast app or on our website. We'll have a link to Emily's new book, How to Walk Into a Room, which is out tomorrow, along with everything else mentioned. This episode is hosted by me, Kendra Adachi, and executive produced by Kendra Adachi, Jenna Fisher, and Angela Kinsey. The Lazy Genius podcast is enthusiastically part of the Office Ladies Network. Special thanks to Leah Jarvis for weekly production. Thanks y'all for listening. And until next time, be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't. I'm Kendra. I'll see you next week.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I need the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink? This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera. Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.